I'm Janine Plummer, and this is Haunted Texas and Beyond. In this particular episode, it is episode 3 of a 3-part series of shows that were made for KLRU. During the Texas Revolution, the Goliad Massacre was particularly brutal, and episode 3 covers that battle. Have a listen.
What happened at the Battle of San Jacinto may have not turned out the way that it did if it were not for what Santa Anna had done here.
And this is one of the areas that they were marched to. As they were coming down, they thought they were being able to go home. As they were being marched down about into this area, they began to realize that something else was occurring.
We heard our companions shrieking in the most agonizing tones, oh God, spare us. It was then we knew what was to be our fate.
Something was trying to manifest itself right next to me. Are you here again? Yes?
Texas fight for independence was fueled by a battle cry many have heard, remember the Alamo. But what few are aware of was there was another battle cry of equal outrage, remember Goliad.
Just weeks after the fall of the Alamo in 1836, more than 300 Texas soldiers were marched from the Presidio La Bahia in Goliad and executed. It is one of the darkest days in Texas history. But even in that darkness, legend says, an angel appeared. 175 years later, echoes of what happened in Goliad can still be heard for those willing to listen. C.C. Kelly is a Texas native and lives on land in Goliad that has been passed down through her family.
When I first moved up here in the early 80s, I could hear music and I didn't know what this type of music was.
Over the years, Cece says the land started speaking to her.
Later, we're able to discover the buttons and the rifle barrels and, you know, coins and all these tokens. It just, as the land was able to talk to us and show us what was going on, what went on here.
For more than 250 years, the contested land around the Presidio La Bahia in Goliad has seen more bloodshed than any other location in Texas. And some believe the tragedies have imprinted themselves into the very ground where the men once stood. So Haunted Texas teamed up with some paranormal enthusiasts to investigate the unusual occurrences taking place, hoping to document the activity.
Caught all that on camera.
But before we show you what we found,
I just can't believe how big this is.
We need to first show you what happened here.
Presidio La Bahia is one of the most fought over locations in the entire Texas territory. And the reason being is because of its location. It was located here because it was to establish the Gulf Coast for Spain. So every time anyone wanted to change the order of government in this territory, the first thing that they did was come here to Presidio La Bahia to capture the fort. Once the fort was established here, the area around the fort became known as La Bahia until 1829, when the name was changed to Goliad. This chapel that we're in, construction of this building was completed in 1779. It is one of the oldest churches in this country.
The chapel is also where the seed of independence for Texas took hold. The first declaration of independence from Mexico was signed in this very altar on December of 1835. But paper wouldn't turn the tide in the fight for Texas freedom. That would be paid in blood.
This also, of course, is a location of the Goliad Massacre. Colonel Fannin was a commander of this fort from late February on, and he was sent here to fortify the fort. He received word that the Alamo had fallen, Shortly after that, Sam Houston sent word here to abandon the fort and to pull back to the Guadalupe River near Victoria. He delayed leaving for several days because he had sent some men to Refugio to help some settlers out, and he was waiting for their return. They never did return. So finally, on the 19th of March, he did abandon the fort and had gone about 9 miles when the Mexican army caught up with him.
Their cavalry approached us rapidly, seemingly with the intention of cutting us off from the timber of the Coleto Creek. They fired a few shots at us when Colonel Fannin exclaimed, "That's the signal for battle. I won't retreat another foot." I'd been shot in the right leg at about 3:30 in the afternoon. Our real trouble commenced after the retreat of the enemy and arose principally from the want of water, from which the wounded especially suffered severely. I lay that night near Colonel Fannin, who'd been slightly wounded in the thigh. I remember him good-naturedly offering me his good leg for a pillow.
Palm Sunday, March 27, 1836, began with a heavy fog settling over the fort. The soldiers, who were being held in the chapel, were removed and divided into three groups and marched in three different directions. Many of the soldiers believed they were being sent back to the United States. The mood was upbeat. Some were singing while others talked of family and friends. Only a few recognized that something was very wrong.
We had been given to understand that we were to be marched to Capano and from there shipped to New Orleans. Our detachment was marched out in double file, each prisoner being guarded by two soldiers, until within about 1/2 mile southwest of the fort, we arrived at a brush fence built by the Mexicans. We were placed in single file and were halfway between the guard and the fence, 8 feet each way. We were then halted when the commanding officer came up to the head of the line and asked if there were any of us who understood Spanish. By this time, there began to dawn upon the minds of us the truth that we were to be butchered. And that, I suppose, is the reason that none answered.
This is one of the areas that they were marched to. So as they were being marched down about into this area, they began to realize that something else was occurring.
A few moments of awful suspense and the bloody signal was given. And then began a scene of horror, Godsend, I may never witness again. My countrymen, my companions were falling by tens, even by hundreds beneath the red, reeking blaze of their treacherous foes, while shrieks, groans, and the most horrible yells and curses resounded on every hand.
In all, 342 men were killed that day, almost twice as many that died at the Alamo.
We heard our companions shrieking in the most agonizing tones, oh God, spare us. It was then we knew what was to be our fate.
Forty wounded soldiers, who were unable to walk, were carried from the chapel into the Presidio courtyard, blindfolded, and shot in the head where they lay.
Colonel Fanning was saved until last. He was taken outside the doors to the chapel. He was seated in a chair because of his leg wound. He made three requests. One, that he be shot in the heart and not the face. The second, that his personal possessions be sent to his family. And the third, that he be given a Christian burial. He was shot in the face. Soldiers took his personal possessions, and his body was burned along with many of the other bodies, which was the same thing that happened to those men who died at the Alamo.
The bodies of the murdered soldiers were left to rot in the Texas sun. Their clothes, taken and washed by the women, turned the nearby San Antonio River blood red. Vultures circled for weeks, and at night, coyotes fed on the remains. 28 men escaped once the shooting started and were able to tell the tale of what happened in Goliad. Not long after the massacre, Santa Anna was defeated at the Battle of San Jacinto, a fight fueled by revenge and soldiers screaming, "Remember the Alamo, remember Goliad." All the human remains from the massacre sites were moved to a single location southeast of the fort and buried. A monument was erected in memory of Colonel Fannin and the men who lost their lives in the fight for Texas independence, their names etched in granite. Also at the memorial is a statue dedicated to a woman, Francisca Alvarez, dubbed the Angel of Goliad. She intervened to rescue the lives of 17 soldiers who were marked for death. Her actions not only saved souls, it showed compassion, an emotion shared by many, even in the rank and file. Survivors describe how many Mexican soldiers wept after carrying out Santa Anna's execution orders.
And if you come down here, you feel that. You know, there's, once you sit and you're quiet, you'll notice there's definitely a something going. Something's here.
Cece Kelly lives just feet away from one of the massacre sites. Not only does she hear music from the 1830s lofting in the wind, she hears the sound of boots.
It could be different times of the day. It could be morning, afternoon, night. Heavy footsteps on the staircase. And it just, heavy boots.
Her family members claim to have seen a ghost of a soldier walking around the kitchen table. Her neighbors have seen things too.
The ranch people who live in this area have seen, it looked like someone was looking at the cattle, but it was moving as if it was the series of pictures being taken was the movement that it had.
And then early one morning, Cece called her son to come downstairs.
I called, this still gives me chills, I called my son upstairs that was on the couch, and I called his name, and then I saw this figure at the top of the staircase, and I asked, if that was my son, and he said no. And then these heavy boots started coming down the stairs. Now, when I saw the silhouette at the top of the stairs, I saw kind of a silver little flashes. I feel like what I was seeing in the reflection of the silvery was buttons, possibly on the uniform.
We stayed at the Presidio an hour after sunset.
Some of the old drawings that I've seen, you had Mexican soldiers who were had tents.
Yeah.
All the way up that way, all the way that way.
Anyone who knows the true history of any location and can remember it definitely will have a feeling of whatever it is those people experienced. You can pick up those feelings.
So what happened in this courtyard?
From the other stuff that I read, that of the men who weren't killed initially on the march were brought back here.
Hundreds of people lost their lives in and around the Presidio La Bahia. Of course, not all the souls still linger, but clearly some do.
Then why are they here?
That's the question. Why does one soul, because obviously it's not all the souls, why does one soul go and be free?
It was a bright, still, moonlit evening, with the silence broken occasionally by a passing car and the intermittent chorus of coyotes calling to one another.
You would just hear these coyotes that were just so loud and profound, and then there'd be complete silence.
I'm in the center of the compound, and there are spirits all around us, and you can hear the animals.
Animals are always going to be more sensitive to the energies around us that we can't see.
Besides the coyotes at the Presidio that night, our camera recordings revealed sounds we did not hear.
I am at the Presidio La Bahia.
Just after I requested that the spirits present themselves, the camera recorded this.
A visual would be one of the best ways to share the message.
We all had our own personal experiences. Franklin was sitting alone in the officers' quarters when he heard this.
It sounded like someone threw a rock at the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
This side, this door?
Yeah, inside the courtyard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a loud, like...
Bam.
Yeah. Looked outside,
nothing.
No rock.
At first, I thought it might have been someone who was just there who saw what cars there. It might have played a trick. So I just kind of slowly got up, went to the window, looked out the window. There was no one there. went around to the back door where it leads out into the courtyard and looked out there, and there was nobody there.
Most memorable was an ongoing experience audio engineer Dennis Foley had with his K2 meter.
What's a K2 meter?
K2 meter is it's a device that measures EMF or milligauss, and the theory is that when a spirit manifests, it's using this type of energy to actually create itself, and this device in turn measures that. And what had happened was something was trying to manifest itself right next to me.
When we got close to the wooden doors, there's very large wooden gates there that allowed soldiers in and out of the fort area, we started to hear this very distinct scratching sound.
Hello, are we here? You back? Yes, is that you? Is that you trying to communicate? Can you give me just one bar for yes? One bar for yes. Thank you. Now you're back again. I think you're right here. I feel you inside my head because I'm getting a headache. Like right on the top of my head. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. Is that you? Are you inside my head right now? You inside my head? Are you making me get a headache?
When you go on to any new site, you sort of want to use your body as an antenna, which is generally what I like to do. Your body is your best piece of equipment. And you kind of get a feel for a place as to what it's trying to tell you.
Some kind of energy by this door. Maybe this is your way in and out. Something like that. But this is the first time that my K2 has worked in earnest. So it's pretty, for me, it's a pretty exciting moment. I've had this thing go off once.
I began to feel a massive pressure headache. It's the only way to describe it. It was also accompanied by some sharp pains in my head, almost like a migraine, and I'm not susceptible to migraine headaches.
Well, I can't do this. The top of my head hurts.
How's your head feel now, Ben?
It was just too much, and as soon as I moved away from the door, it went away.
It's a very profound experience.
Visitors to the Presidio encounter evidence of spirits all the time. Luis Rodriguez contacted Haunted Texas after visiting the Presidio La Bahia on one Saturday afternoon.
I've always been fascinated with ghosts. Growing up, I was afraid about it as well. So when the opportunity to go to Presidio La Bahia came up, I had to jump at it. What I was afraid of was the unknown. I know a lot of people don't believe it and want to dispel it, but I really think there's something out there. I was really just grasping at straws because I've never done this before, but I was very sincere about it.
She was just a regular person with two other women who just decided one weekend night to rent the facility and go out there, and they were the best EVPs.
An electronic voice phenomenon is basically a sound anomaly that shows up on a recording device after the recording has happened.
At the time, I was also asking for a particular woman, Francita Alaves, who was known as the Angel of Goliad.
Señora Alaves, ¿estás aquí? ¿Eres la Ángel de Goliad?
When I heard the tape the next morning, because I wasn't going to listen to it in the evening, the next morning, my eyes just started to water. I started to get chills, and I just had to play it back again. I couldn't believe that I was hearing something. I didn't understand what she meant by it, and I really, because I couldn't hear her, I also cut her off. But at the same time, I do feel that she was directly telling me something. You know, if somebody leans in to tell you something, it felt like that. As we were getting to leave, we were walking around the property. One of the girls was already at the car, and two of us were getting ready, moving in that direction. At that point, I hear a voice saying, "We're in a small grave."
Are there spirits out here in this little field area?
This is the property where the soldiers were marched, had been marched to, and were massacred.
She was basically capturing intelligible language that could be understood by anybody who heard this tape. In other words, when I heard these EVPs, I heard exactly what she heard, without instruction.
I found a cheap $25 digital recorder at a local department store, and it was nothing, but it was worth every bit of what I got on the recording.
You don't need a lot of equipment. You don't need anything. All you need is a sense of understanding of history and openness and maybe a cheap recorder, and that's what happened.
What I've been seeing in TV and movies is that ghosts are scary and ugly and gory and dangerous, and I don't think I believe that anymore.
It almost felt like just someone trying to tell me something. It was nothing to be afraid of, and it kind of opened a new door. I feel a little more connected in a way. I want to go back to the Presidio and continue the conversation now that I've heard part of it. It would be interesting to see if I could go back and continue that conversation. I'm just really fascinated by it, more than I'm afraid.
It's not something that's ever taken for granted. It's very humbling. So many times sitting here underneath this carport and staring out and just knowing that the land tells a story. And it's real. It's not a fiction story. It's real. Every year at the reenactment, off to the side, you're seeing the Angel of Goliad statue, the silhouette, and then you're seeing the monument where you know Colonel Fannin and his men are. And after 20-something years, it still just brings a tear. And it's just a very humbling.
On our visit to Goliad, we remember those who died for Texas's freedom. Of all the men that died there, a few souls chose to remain for whatever reason. At Haunted Texas, we believe the destination of your spirit is not determined by how you died, but rather how you chose to live.